Welcome to the Marketing with a Finance Twist podcast, where we explore easy to implement strategies for boosting your online sales and profitability. With expert discussions on social media, paid ads, and finance management, we'll cover everything you need to know, whether you're just starting out or scaling up. Sit back, get inspired, and enjoy exclusive insider access with your host, Nana.
Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing with a Finance Twist podcast. If you've ever wondered if influencer marketing would be right for your brand, you've tuned into the right episode. Today, we're chatting with Jenny Dinsafransky, founder of JDS Projects Talent Management Agency, about the do's and don'ts of influencer marketing to help brands stand out online and grow a loyal following. Jenny, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on. So I kind of alluded to it in the intro, but can you explain to our listeners what you do and who you help?
Awesome. So JDS Projects was founded in 2020, and it is a talent management agency focused on connecting diverse female creators and experts with like-minded brands. And my focus is on the talent side. So I represent, you know, various types of creators, from chefs to, you know, wellness and fitness creators and influencers, to podcasters, to media personalities. Our roster definitely is a diverse one that is mixed from not only their ethnicities, but also what they do. Some of the talent I represent, you may or may not know, but one of the talent I represent is a Vietnamese vegan chef that was featured on Netflix Street Food. Another talent that I represent is Chef Christine Haw, known as the Blind Cook, who was the Master Chef 3 winner. And several others that you can check out my website for more, but you know, those are a few of the influencers that I currently represent. I represent a very curated roster of 6 talent right now, and excited to share more.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's a serious roster.
Thank you.
So, before starting your agency, can you share like what your background is and how you got started?
Sure. So I have a decade of experience in the advertising and marketing world. I started my time out in the ad agency world, and quickly found that I wanted to get out of the ad agency world. It was crazy. I would be working till 4 a.m. and not 4 a.m., 2 a.m., close enough, but that was not my thing. But I definitely learned a lot working in the ad agency world. And prior to starting JDS in 2020, I was working at the Grammy Awards in brand partnerships. So I would manage all the brand partnership relationships, and people know them as sponsors per se, right? So brands that we worked with were like MasterCard, Hilton, Absolute Vodka. They were the brands that were sponsoring the Grammy Awards show. And I would be responsible for outreach, so pitching out to the brands. I would be responsible for managing the relationships from start to finish. And what brought me to starting my agency in 2020 was like everyone else during the pandemic, lots of things happened, but I also had a baby. So I gave birth to my beautiful baby boy in March of 2020. And I quickly figured out while I was on maternity leave that I was ready to make a change. And that quickly brought me to Portland, Oregon. So I moved from LA to Portland, Oregon to be closer to family and get support with baby. But I had actually left the Grammy Awards in August of 2020. So had baby in March of 2020, left the Grammys in August of 2020, and didn't know what I wanted to do next, but knew that I was ready for a change, and took that leap of faith and said, I will figure it out. I just want to focus on family. Which was crazy. And soon enough, in like October and November of 2020, I fell into entrepreneurship. But how that happened was, you know, I knew I wanted to marry my experience with brand partnerships with my love and passion for empowering, mentoring, and supporting other women. So that is one of the reasons why, you know, my roster is really focused on elevating and elevating, in short, you know, women of color specifically, and women of color creators. Because as I was doing my research prior to starting my agency, I realized that, you know, majority of the creators and influencers out there are women. And actually, women of color also get paid less than their white counterparts for the same project sometimes, right? A lot of the times. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I know how to work with brands. I will figure this out and I will make it happen for them. And I got my first client through, you know, through someone I knew, actually, Dr. Malik. And things just kind of just took off from there, really. I know I said a lot just right now, but feel free to chime in.
No, that's great. Like you said a lot where I feel like a lot of people resonate with, especially year 2020 being a driven year for a lot of people.
Right.
And just having children too. I find a lot of women get into entrepreneurship after they have children. So definitely relatable. A lot of people will be able to connect with that. So thank you for sharing that for sure.
Sure.
So to kind of just switch gears then, can you explain to like brands what influencer marketing is, and like, why should they even get into it in the first place as a way of, you know, growing their sales and growing an audience?
Yeah. So in short, you know, influencer marketing is a form of marketing, right? That allows brands to collaborate with people who have a strong digital presence and dedicated communities. You know, an example of that is, for example, I love J-Lo. So I use her as an example, but, you know, she did a partnership with DSW, right? She did a collaboration with DSW where she basically created her own line of shoes with DSW, right? But I'm sure DSW was like, you know what? We want to tap into J-Lo's market and her community to sell more shoes, right? Or tap into her community to do XYZ, right? So in short, that's what influencer marketing is in short.
Yeah. From what you've seen, what kind of brands benefit most from influencer marketing? And is it like something only apparel brands would benefit from, or can other type of brands also benefit from using this form of marketing?
That's a great question. You know, as you know, and I'm sure a lot of people can just Google this, but through studies, you know, 61% of people trust influencers, they trust influencers' recommendations over a, you know, branded video or a brand produced piece of content, right? Just like you and I, we trust our friends. We trust who our friends follow. We trust just the people around us, right? Just similar to referrals, right? You trust people around you and people you follow. So again, that 61% right there through studies that show that people trust influencers should give brand the confidence that influencer marketing does work. And influencer marketing is not just for apparel brands per se. It's for all sorts of brands, right? If you're a product or a service, you can leverage influencer marketing to help drive greater brand awareness.
I often see that where it kind of co-mixes with affiliate marketing in a way, because I often find like some SaaS brands will get a really known online figure. And use that for influencer marketing to get people to buy their SaaS services.
Yes, so, that is very similar. You know, there are different levels of partnerships, I should say, in the influencer marketing space. You know, of course, ideal for creators are paid partnerships, but, you know, there are also, you know, there's also the affiliate model too, which is paid. However, it's like a commission-based model, right? So if you're able to refer X people, 10 people to use this link and purchase, you get, you know, 5 to 10% of the sales per se. Creators can make money off of that model, of course, but again, most creators do like the upfront paid model.
Yeah, understandably, because it's a lot of time and commitment and equipment and other things that creators, yeah.
It is. I think a lot of times people don't realize the effort and time and expertise that is put into content creation, right? You know, brands now are asking influencers to be the videographer, the photographer, the expert to speak to it. You know, you're asking them to purchase product to promote it. You know, you're asking them, you know, if you're a chef, you're asking them to buy food, right? to create the content, you know, so much comes along with content creation. And it's not just an easy, you know, let me record a 1 minute video, which likely took many takes to create that 1 minute video.
Yeah, I totally understand. And because I have other friends who are influencers, and it takes a lot of time. So Definitely pay influencers well for what they do, because, you know, they're doing some serious work to help promote your brand. Mm-hmm. So for those brands that are like, you know what, I'm sold on this, I want to use influencer marketing to help, you know, increase the awareness of my products and get sales going, how should they go about getting started?
That's a good question. Before I dive in, you know, I went to a conference recently with, you know, it was called like the Creator Economy Live, and it was in Las Vegas with several brands and agencies that work in the creator economy space per se. And one of the things that they even reiterated as a brand and an agency was influencer marketing is a test. It's truly a test for brands when you're first starting. You got to figure out what works and what doesn't work for you, right? Like before you dive into influencer marketing, you have to first take a step back and say, does this approach make sense for me and my company, right? And a few steps I would say or checklist you can go through is like, well, if I'm going through influencer marketing, you know, is the content the influencer I want to partner with, does it make sense for the brand, right? And two, what is the influencer's reach? Do they have a great engagement? Do they have a large enough community that makes sense and would provide value to my brand and company? And then resonance, right? Like, is the audience engaged in their content, right? And is it mutually beneficial for both parties, right? Since I work on the talent management side, those are some of the questions I ask myself, right? Is this going to be a mutually beneficial partnership? Because, you know, is this going to drive greater value to my influencer and vice versa? So there's definitely lots of questions you have to ask yourself before diving into influencer marketing. But you also can't be scared of it, right? You have to test the waters and understand what your intention is prior to going in, right? For example, is it a brand awareness play? Is it conversions? What is it? You know, you have to really ask yourself those questions before you dive in and kind of like test it out.
And who else to help you navigate that but Jenny? So we're going to make sure we're going to plug your contact details.
Oh, thank you.
In this podcast and at the end, but you're definitely in good hands when you reach out to Jenny to help you navigate influencer marketing. So Jenny, then, like, in your opinion, what are elements of a successful influencer marketing campaign?
Yeah, I would say elements of a successful campaign is, first off, how does it start off? You know, it all starts with when a brand reaches out to the influencer or vice versa, you know, what are the goals? Like, what are the goals that you have for this partnership? That's really important, right? Like I mentioned, is it a brand awareness play? Is it conversion, right? What are the success metrics, first of all? So we both, you know, both the influencer side and the brand side have to be aligned on what those goals are. And then second thing is, you know, we definitely pride ourselves on long-term relationships. You know, on our side of things, we don't typically like to do one-off campaigns because, you know, if your brand's intention is to build trust with, you know, that influencer's community, we're going to know it takes more than just a one post to build trust and conversions and brand awareness, right? In the marketing world, like, there's that study that says it takes about 6 to 7 times for someone to see something or see the brand or hear the brand before they actually make a decision. So we definitely pride ourselves on, you know, long-term relationships with partners and brands, or brand partners, I should say, because that's how we're able to measure if the campaign was successful or not, right? Because how can you really say a campaign was successful or not if you didn't really fully test it, right? You didn't fully go through the whole process of making sure that, you know, you did your due diligence to to just test it, for lack of a better word. But I would say successful partnership is one that is, you know, both sides understand the goals at hand. It's collaborative, you know, it's ongoing communication. It's not transactional. And it's a long-term relationship, ideally, right? But I think at the upfront of all this, you know, it's just important to establish what the goals are of the partnership.
So like when a brand, because one thing I hear on the influencer side is sometimes a brand will reach out and say, you know, here are my shoes, market it. But sometimes they want more kind of clarity and direction. So I guess what would you say to a brand when they are telling, you know, an influencer how to market their product? Like, what details should they be clear?
That's a great question. I think the most successful campaigns that I've worked on is there's a clear brief, right? What is the objective? What are the deliverables? What are the messaging points? What as an influencer, what are some points that I need to hit on, right? Because, you know, I can research your brand and study your brand, but what are the main points and call to action that you want me to post in my caption or in my messaging in the video? And what's great about the influencer marketing space is that it's ever evolving, right? You know, no longer the days are you just asking an influencer to post about your content. You might ask them to be an ambassador. You might ask them to be present at an event, right? There's just so many ways that nowadays that influencers can work with brands outside of just the digital space.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So then, because you kind of touched on it in your previous response in terms of like metrics. So like what metrics should a brand use then to track the effectiveness of an influencer campaign?
That's a great question. So it touches back on the goal, right? If it's a brand awareness play per se, and you're just trying to get the most eyeballs, then, you know, the views and the clicks and the saves and all those things are important, right? But you might be a brand that says, you know, I just care about conversions and I, you know, the likes and views are great, but I want to see actual hard numbers. So how you track that sometimes is by providing the influencer a unique URL link, right? So you're not just like randomly just assuming that someone came to the brand's page because that person posted that day. You can at least somewhat track more closely with, you know, a unique URL that you provide an influencer. And again, being upfront about that conversation, like digging deeper with the brand, okay, well, if clicks matter to you, how many clicks would, you know, what does that look like? Is it 200 clicks, 300 clicks, 500 clicks? It really kind of goes back to the brand, like what does success look like for that brand?
That's really great. I love that detail that you mentioned there because people don't think about even asking about like, what is your number? What are you looking? How many people are you looking to click on your link or, right, you know, convert? So,
and to be transparent, like brands and agencies are all trying to still figure it out, right? Like I said, this is the wild, wild west. People are just testing, you know, it's an ongoing evolving industry. You know, like I was speaking with someone the other day. She works on the agency side and with brands. And she said, you know, I've recommended so many influencers to this, you know, this one particular influencer to this, to many brands, and she's been successful, but then this one campaign just fell flat and there's no reasoning behind it. She's like, I don't know. She, you know, this one influencer did like 10 successful campaigns, but this one just fell flat. And it's just hard to kind of articulate what went wrong. Right. Because again, you have so much history and case studies on how it went well. So when it does go wrong, you're kind of like, I don't know. Well, let's see, like, let's try to figure out and research what did go quote unquote wrong. Maybe the product just didn't resonate with that community, you know, yeah. As easy as that.
So then speaking of successes, then, can you share an example of a successful campaign you had worked on and the results it generated for the brand?
Of course. Yeah. Recently, I worked on a campaign for my client, Carla Marie. You can find her at the Carla Marie. She's amazing. She's based in Seattle, and she worked for the Elvis Duran show for 12 years. So she's been in the radio industry, but now she no longer is at Elvis Duran. She now has her own podcast show and Twitch show, and is the in-game Seattle Seahawks host. So she's amazing, amazing. She has a large network. You know, she has about, 180 plus Instagram follower, 80,000, sorry, 180,000 followers. But across the board, she has like 500,000 followers, on all her platforms. But she loves Orange Theory Fitness, right? She loves the brand. I do Orange Theory now because of her. She loves that brand. So we, on the talent management agency side, we always think about what are authentic brand fits for our influencers. Cause that's like the low hanging fruit. If she already loves the brand, she already uses the brand, she already can talk to it. It's just a perfect match made in heaven, So we partnered with Orange Theory. We started out with a 3-month partnership, but now it's extended into the rest of the year, which obviously that proves as a success. But again, they tested it out for 3 months and they saw that it was successful and they're continuing. But I would say for this particular partnership, they had not really dabbled in influencer marketing and they were kind of like unsure a little bit about if they were ready to invest, in the partnership, but we were able to talk it through and I was able to assure them like, hey, Carla Marie, she's your girl. Like she loves Orange Theory and she has, a dedicated following in Seattle. And, the brand's goal was to drive more new customers to their Seattle locations, right? So that just made perfect sense. And what we did was we agreed to have Carla Marie host a private class. So this was, sponsored content and digital content was part of the overall package, but for them, they wanted to see how many people can she drive to this private class. And she was able to drive like 40 to 50 signups. And that was a success to them because that, basically that's a lead generating moment for them, right? She's basically leading new customers into their actual, space and gym to test out Orange Theory. So that was the most recent successful campaign that I wanted to share because again, like I said, with influencer marketing, it's definitely evolving and it's gone beyond just sponsored content. The partnership has really just taken, it's just really expanded into many areas from, digital to on-site activation.
That's amazing. Congratulations to that successful campaign. Cause that's a big win. That's a really good case study.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Super exciting. Yeah. But a lot of it is, what I love about what I do in the influencer marketing space is that, people don't realize behind brands are people, right? So you got to treat them as so it's a conversation, I love to take conversations onto a Zoom call or a phone call. Just give me 20 minutes and let's chat this through. What are your goals? What are you looking for? And I can advise on how we can best achieve those goals or sometimes not, right? It might not always be the best fit, but I think it's always important to hop on a call with the person on the other side.
So just to kind of not take a pause, but I just really wanted to pull it out of this episode just to bring to people's attention that if you are going to go the influencer marketing route, Jenny mentioned it in a number of her responses, it's really good to get an influencer who's aligned with your product. So someone who already uses it and who enjoys it because it will come out in the content that they create, right? And you'll be able to easily get more signups or people attracted to your brand because it's authentic compared to someone who doesn't use your product or service. And, people can tell when you're faking, when someone doesn't actually use it or like the product. Mm-hmm. So, no, thank you for sharing that.
Of course. And, you know, I know there's a lot of brands that are still looking to drive brand awareness, and people may not have used their products. But if you're on the brand side, you would look at influencers who have used similar products to your product, right? Like, yeah, if, you know, I'm making this up, but if I'm a skincare influencer or creator, okay, and your brand is a skincare brand, that's like, okay, this person's already talking about skincare. Like that could make sense.
Makes sense.
Right.
Love that. Hope you guys are taking that, because that is some serious, you know, knowledge Jenny is dropping right now. So we've touched on like what makes it successful. Now I'm going to go the opposite route. What are some of like the biggest mistakes you see brands make when it comes to influencer marketing? Or if not mistakes,
yeah,
I'll leave it at that. Yeah,
mistakes. I hear what you're saying. Right. I would say, again, this sounds like a broken record, and it sounds like, so, okay, well, duh, Jenny, but it's like not understanding what your goals are, you know, like coming into this campaign, seeing it as transactional, like, oh, you know, I just want this influencer to post, you know, 2 IG posts. But it's like, well, why? What's the point of these IG posts? Is it to drive, again, brand awareness, conversions? What is it? So I would say the first mistake is just not having a clear understanding of why you're partnering in the first place. And 2, if you do know why you're partnering and you didn't clearly communicate it to the influencer creator, well, then that's another mistake, right? You need to clearly communicate to the creator and influencer what the point of the partnership is, you know, and as simple as a 1-page brief, right? I love it when agencies and brands come with a brief that's very clear, because then you're like, there's no accidental, you know, quote unquote mistakes that could happen, because it's all written in the brief. Everyone has reviewed it, and everyone is aware of what, you know, the deliverables are. So I would just say being clear upfront about what you're looking for.
Someone did ask me, they're like, it was actually an influencer though. Should they be signing contracts when they're working with brands, or are people doing handshake deals when it comes to these type of partnerships?
Oh man, you almost gave me a heart attack. No handshake deals in this world, and just like overall in whatever industry you're in, unless it's like, you know, with your brother or sister and you're just like, cool, like, let's agree on this. I think it's very, very important to have a contract in place, regardless of how cool or close you think you are with that person on the other side, because at the end of the day, these brands are going to protect themselves, and you need to protect yourself as an influencer or creator, right? And also too, it establishes a more professional relationship, right? You mean business when you have a contract, right? It's like, we both agree to these things. And again, if anything falls off or mistakes happen, you can reflect back to the contract. So always have a contract anytime you do partnerships. Always.
Protect yourself and protect your brand.
Yes.
So like, in your opinion, which brands are doing influencer marketing really well? So then our listeners can like go and Google and see how they're doing it, so they get like a frame of reference.
Oh my gosh. So there's just like so many. I mean, I can't pinpoint a brand right now, but I give it to the brands that are on TikTok and have really tapped into the Gen Z audience and really created that slogan, right? TikTok made me buy it. I think those brands that are on TikTok are really doing well. Although I know TikTok is a TBD right now, and yeah, who knows what's going to happen to that, but that's another conversation. But I would say I really give it to the brands that stepped out of their comfort zone and really explored and tested another platform. I know a lot of skincare brands have done it. I'm trying to think what brand in particular pops out. This is so random. I think it was like a cleaning brand or something. It was like, I don't know if it was Bissell or something. B-I-S-S-E-L-L. I don't know.
Oh, the vacuum cleaning?
Yes, the vacuum. Yeah. Yes, but I believe they did like some crazy TikTok like influencer marketing play where everyone made that cool, basically. So I would say maybe, I don't know why that one popped up in my head. You probably would think that I would say something like sexier, but hey, it's like those unconventional brands that you would never think about playing in the influencer marketing space is now playing in the influencer marketing space. I give it to them for testing that out and seeing that, you know, they've found success with it.
Which one was it I saw the other day? It was Notion. Notion is kind of like a project management tool, note taking.
Right. I think I've heard of it. Yep.
Yeah. I saw them. They have quite a few collaborations with YouTubers, I'm noticing, to help them, you know, increase, expand their audience.
And I really love the brands that are exploring different ways to partner with creators and influencers because they are so versatile, right? They're so talented in so many ways. And I think also too, we're all so tired of the Zooms and we want to get out there. Everyone's excited to get back in person. So other opportunities are like, you know, maybe sponsoring your creator influencers event, right? Like whatever that may look like. Whatever that may look like we love, you know, I specifically love getting creative with when we speak with partners. Like I literally tell them, hey, we can do anything from digital content, sponsored posts, all the way to ambassadorships, to event activation, you name it, we're open to it.
Okay. Money. Let's talk money.
Ooh.
It's another thing. You know, some people want to invest in this form of marketing, but they're not exactly sure how much they should be spending. So how much should a brand spend on influencer marketing and what kind of ROI can influencer marketing produce? Or if you want to use an example then, if that kind of helps.
Yeah, I think I can answer the first question. So the first question is, you know, how much should a brand spend on influencer marketing, right? I think one, it of course depends on the size of the company and brand. That definitely would change the amount they spend on influencer marketing. But again, through recent studies, I think it says like 11% of brands spend over $500,000 on influencer marketing. And 80% of brands intend to dedicate budget in 2023 to influencer marketing. But I think it definitely ranges, right? It could range anywhere from 10K to 500K and above, depending on the size of your company. So you should really look at your company size first and foremost, right? It's going to be different if you're like, you know, just starting out like a mom and pop brand versus, you know, Oreos. I don't know why that made Oreos came to mind, but that's a significant difference, right? Oreos probably has a larger marketing budget. Therefore, they can allot, you know, a bigger percentage of that marketing budget to influencer marketing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like what changes and or trends do you see happening in the influencer marketing ecosystem?
In the influencer marketing ecosystem and like now what we call the creator economy. Terms are always changing, but you know, really influencers and creators taking their own brands in their own hands, right? Content creators and influencers are now creating their own products. That's, you know, that's of course has been done, but I definitely feel like creators and influencers are really taking ownership of their own brand versus relying on brands to make money per se. Although that is still a stream of revenue for influencers and creators and a big part of it, but really making, you know, creating their own opportunities. And other trends I would say is, you know, what I would love to see is more cross collaboration with multiple brands, right? There might be brands that, you know, you might work with brand A that has a smaller budget and brand B who has a somewhat bigger budget, but why not collaborate with both A and B brand that are not competitive in the space to work with a creator and influencer? I would love to see more of that because then it's kind of like, you kind of get a two for one. the deal, That's but a good it's show. like, it, it's a bene- it's beneficial to all parties involved, right? I think it's very important to ensure that, you know, all partnerships are mutually beneficial.
Why should brands work with talent managers?
Brands should work with talent managers because, as simple as this, you will get your questions answered. And also, too, you get vetted creators and influencers. We've already vetted these creators and made sure that, you know, they have a great following. They are experts in what they do. And that alone is like a plus, right? But I would say, as talent managers, people don't realize that we help, you know, we help things move along, and you will get quicker answers than you would by reaching directly to some influencers. Not all, I would say, but you definitely can trust talent managers to be, not trust, but you can rely on talent managers to get your questions answered quickly.
You hit on the vetted part, and one of the biggest concerns or fears that some brands have is that, you know, like, how can I trust that this person's actually going to deliver? So that is a, you know, a huge pain point I feel that you're solving by kind of removing or alleviating that risk and that unknown, because you really do vet out your talent, and, you know, you have the case stories to back up, you know, the results as well. So that's huge.
That's right. Because, you know, because if you really think about it, most talent managers, you know, we're not going to rep someone we don't believe in that has potential and or, you know, has a great platform already. So trust that, you know, when you work with talent managers, you are working with vetted and trustable is not a word, but, you know, trustworthy influencers and creators. Because we are so invested in growing them as talent that, you know, we are putting our best foot forward and our best people forward, you know, in general.
Okay. So for the people who want to work with you, but aren't ready yet for a talent manager, how else can they go about working with you? Or,
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I really believe that knowledge is power, and especially in this creator economy, there is a pay gap, right? So for the folks that want to work with me and are not ready for talent management per se, I offer what I call the Brand Partnership Starter Bundle, which is a custom package for that creator or influencer that has custom pitch templates based on them and who they are, just custom tools, one-on-one coaching for like a 3-month period. And I've been able to help folks who have signed on with me with the Brand Partnership Starter Bundle, you know, grow their revenue, their brand partnerships revenue 10 times.
It's well priced as well. So we're going to link that in the show notes for sure. Mm-hmm. Are you running any promos or anything like that at the moment?
For your listeners, I can. if they say they've listened to your podcast, I can definitely run a promo of like $500 off. To be honest, I'm happy to give $500 off my Brand Partnership Starter Bundle. And, you know, folks that have purchased it have definitely, again, 10 times their brand partnerships revenue from literally zero to, you know, I have, you know, a creator, and they're actually a duo. They've literally, since purchasing my brand partnerships bundle, they've secured $100,000 in brand partnerships.
What? Okay, I need to get into marketing my damn self, because
everyone is different, and it really is what you make of what the, you know, the tools and custom coaching that I provide to you. But, you know, it is a stream of income that a lot of people kind of put, you know, whether they're just scared to pitch the brands or whatever that is, I really give that creator the confidence to secure their own brand partnerships.
Beautiful. That's amazing. So thank you. Don't say I never hooked you guys up. You just got the homie discount from Jen. Make sure you check her out. Mention Marketing with the Finance podcast, or just say Nana sent you. And she'll take care of you.
I got you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Jenny, That is it for the questions.
Oh, wow. Thank you
for sharing your insight with our listeners. You shared a lot of gems for sure. So hopefully you guys were taking notes. And if you weren't able to, just hit up Jenny. Book a call with her. But right now, we'll go into the lightning round questions. Jenny, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so 15 seconds on the clock. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Surprise party or planned party?
Planned party.
Texting or talking?
Talking.
Morning person or night owl?
Morning person.
Favorite food?
Ooh, so many. Pizza comes to mind. I feel like I have pizza once a week.
NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC for sure. That was my first concert ever. So NSYNC.
I saw the CD somewhere. Favorite tech tool you use for your business?
Favorite tech tool. I like Slack, and I just started using Streak, which is like a CRM tool. So those two.
Awesome. And last question, if you could have dinner with any two people, who would it be?
Oh my gosh, this is a hard one. Rihanna quickly comes to mind. Rihanna. I love Rihanna. She's just a boss, and come on, she performed pregnant at the Super Bowl.
Up in the air, like 100 feet high.
Up in the air. Like she basically made it so all pregnant women cannot have an excuse anymore. Rihanna and who else? My mom.
Aw. Well, yes. So Jenny, what's next for your agency? And what are you most excited about for 2023?
Ooh. Oh man, what's next for my agency? I just hired my first person, so I'm super excited, but definitely expansion and growth. You know, I still am a, you know, JDS Projects is still a boutique talent management agency. However, I do want to intentionally grow my roster, you know, if that makes sense. You know, my goal is not to, you know, have a roster of like 1,000 people, but I, you know, pride myself in having a very curated premium roster of talent that are, again, experts and influencers and creators and thought leaders. So intentionally growing my roster for sure.
Oh, so that's awesome. Like growth is always good. And congratulations on the new hire, because that's major, you know. Mm-hmm. So where can people go to learn more about you and connect with you online?
You can find me at jdsprojects.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at itsjdsprojects.
Yeah. So Jenny, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast today. We're going to link all your contacts in the show notes and your website so people can hit you up online and, you know, hire you to help them market their brands for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with friends or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. For links and promos related to this episode, visit theopscollective.com/podcast. See you next time.